Jesus, you are my King. Amazing love to talk about His glory and His greatness in the midst of the trial and the tribulation. Because there is a people on the face of the earth that cannot be shaken. Because everything that could be shaken has already been shaken. There's nothing left to be shaken. And what remains is of God. Hallelujah. And if you haven't reached that point yet, you're going to get there. Because the Bible says, through many tribulations shall we enter in to the kingdom of God. But be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world, Jesus said. And that out of adversity, every one of them, the Lord delivers His people. These are opportunities for us to go deeper into the kingdom. Tribulation, trial, and test are nothing more, nothing less than gateways into the deeper life with God. And it's only the weak, it's only the immature saint that is overcome by tribulation and chooses to do evil. But those who have been tested and tried by the fire, that understand that God is a God that does not lie, that He will not forsake you in the moment of your testing, that He will always show you the way out. Stand fast in the midst of adversity and look for God to show up in their circumstance and turn things around. Come on, just take your finger and turn things around. You see, sometimes we've got to begin to think that God, at the very moment of our darkest hour, is starting to turn things around when we can't even see the things that are turning around. Because God is a good God, amen? He is a good God, and He's a good God all the time. You see, I believe that God is raising up families. God is raising up churches who will hold on to the Word of God, who will stand fast in their faith, even in the midst of great suffering and great adversity, will stand fast in their faith, even in the midst of great opposition. And there are those that are opposing us like never before. There are demonic powers and spirits being released like never before. I got an email yesterday from a young lady who grew up in this church and no longer attends here and is living in another state. And she wrote an email, and her mother wrote an email, and they said, "Listen, Pastor, my daughter is being harassed sexually on the job, and there's nothing that the management will do, and it is causing her great emotion, and she can't hardly go to work, and she comes home shaking and trembling, and it is just causing her not to even think that God is there, and what's going on?" And I wrote back an email. I said, "In Jesus' name, tell her the next time that man looks at her the wrong way, the next time that man puts a hand on her or says some kind of verbal suggestion of some sexual innuendo, to turn around and declare, 'In the name of Jesus, I bind you, Satan, and I cast you far from me, and I tell you now, go in Jesus' name.'" I said, when she takes that authority in the midst of her trial, that man, I believe, will cower. That spirit will have to run, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. God's looking for a people today who will stand in the midst of trial and trouble, in the midst of tribulation, and lift their hands and begin to praise Him, begin to glorify Him. Is there anybody in this room this morning who has some trouble, who has had some trials, who has had some tribulation? Well, I think you ought to just stand up. If that's you, come on, just stand up and just begin to praise Him right now. Begin to glorify Him right now. Say, "God, I'm here to bless Your holy name." It doesn't matter if it's a physical thing, spiritual or emotional thing. I know that my God is a God that will not lie. And I'm here to bless You in the middle of all my trouble. And I believe that You are a God of great deliverance. Hallelujah. Come on in here now. Let's bless the Lord. Come on in here now. Let's bless the Lord. Hallelujah. Before you're seated, I want you to look at two or three people and say, "My God is able." I want you to say it with an attitude. "My God is able." I want you to get an attitude and say, "My God is able." Amen. Hey, my God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that I could think or all that I could ask. My God is able. And He's coming for you right now. God is coming for you right now. Right in the middle of the mess, God is coming for you right now. He's not going to forsake you. He's not going to forget about you. God's raising up a generation of churches and families that get their feet planted upon the rock and will not be intimidated. Will not bow to the spirit of this age. Will not begin to cower in fear and back up. This is a generation of families and churches that are saying, look, I know that my God is real, and you may be going over to the bar for the night. You may be mad at God for the day, but I got some news for you. I, with or without you, I'm going to God. I'm coming to the kingdom of God. With or without you, I'm not moving just because you've moved. It's a multi-generational, multicultural church. It is a thing that God is raising up in this hour that's going to sweep America. It's not necessarily going to sweep America in the numbers as much as it will in the power to continue into the kingdom of God. It is a household. It is a strength. It is a community of faith that God is raising up around America to say that we have been through the fire and we've been through the floodwaters and we're still standing. Hallelujah. How many are still standing? You've been through some trouble? I've been through some trouble, but I'm still standing. Hallelujah. Glory to God. There was a lot of people thought I'd never be standing this long. I want you to know I'm still here. Hallelujah. I'm still standing. Glory to God. And when I got up this morning, I gave God praise out of this mouth right here. Yeah, right here out of this mouth. I gave God praise. And I glorified His name this morning. Thank you, Lord. Just lift one hand up to heaven and thank Jesus. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You see, our choices for righteousness speak volumes to this age. When you choose righteousness instead of choosing evil, you speak to a generation. But more than that, come on, you speak to principalities and powers of the air. Because based on your choice, you either initiate the energy and the authority and the power of demonic strongholds, or you release the energy or the power or the anointing of the kingdom of God based on your choice. Whatever choice you make will begin to speak to that source. If I choose God, if I choose the Word, if I choose to live for Him, suddenly the same power that is in that choice now is released into my circumstance. If I choose the bottle, if I choose the drug, if I choose to curse God, then the authority that's in that choice is being released into my circumstance. And sometimes people can't understand. Pastor, I don't understand why things are getting worse. I don't understand why things are falling apart. It seems like I get one problem fixed and another one comes. My question is, what are your daily choices? What are you choosing every moment of your life? It's not just whether or not you're going to choose to give to God on Sunday or choose to go to church or not go to church. It's talking about moment by moment your walk with God to choose righteousness and not to choose evil. And then we empower the Holy Spirit to release that power within our life and within our circumstance. Let me tell you, tomorrow is the 6th of August, 2007. I've never been there, but I'm going there. I'm heading there unless the Lord takes me into the glory. I know this, that that day came out of eternity. And if I go into eternity, I'll go into the origin of the place where August 6th was created by my sovereign God. But I know this, that my choices today will dictate and release the power and the authority and the energy to maintain and to meet all my needs in August 6th. August 6th is already covered because my God is faithful. But not only that, because I have chosen to be faithful to a faithful God. And my choice have already released the power, the anointing, provision, and the energy I need to have everything I want and need for the August 6th date. So I don't wake up in fear tomorrow. I wake up in faith. I wake up in confidence. I wake up that knowing that my God has already been in the 6th, and I'm just now following through with the perfect divine will and plan of God. I heard somebody say the other day, I was listening to them, they were on an airplane, and they said this, where there's a will, there's a way. And the Holy Ghost said, yeah, he's preaching now. And everybody have said that, where there's a will, there's a way, meaning you have to have the will, you have to have the strength, you have to have the fortitude. But I heard it a different way, where there's the will, or where there is a will, the will of God, where there's the will, where there's the will of God, there is a way that will come because of the will of God. Do you know the will of God today for your life? Do you know the will of God so that you can find your way? Opportunities are presented to us every day. The question is whether or not you and I will be able to hold on to them, or be able to captivate them, or be able to integrate them into our life. See, there are opportunities here this morning. Some of you are making choices as you're sitting here. Some of you are making choices right now. Some of you are choosing to criticize this church. Some of you are choosing to criticize somebody sitting next to you. Some of you are choosing to make a thought come through your mind as you're thinking of some things that you know would not be pleasing to God, but you're making choices. It's an amazing thing. We don't have to be doing anything to make choices. We could just be sitting there acting like we're doing nothing, and we're making lots of choices. But know this, the choices that you're making are going to create your future. Know this also, there are other opportunities of choices that you could be making right now. For example, there are some of us in this room and that are listening to this particular teaching that have not yet released forgiveness towards someone. You still engage bitterness towards someone. You've not released forgiveness. And so you've made a choice not to release them. That choice not to release them is a choice that is empowering demonic spirits around your life. It is an opportunity God's presenting to you to engage the anointing and the power of God, but because you haven't chosen, you haven't seized the day. Everybody say, seize the day. Carpe diem. Say, carpe diem. Yeah, seize the day. In other words, you're not seizing the opportunity. You're letting the opportunity pass us. See, we want some anointing. We want the power of God to come in our lives. We want to go to a service. We want to go to crusade. We want to come under some great teacher that can slap us on the head and grease us up with some oil and let us be flipping, flopping on the floor and get a chill pill and a chill bump. And we feel like that's God. But let me tell you where God comes from. God comes from the moment when you have chosen to do good and not evil. God is released when you say righteousness and not unrighteousness. When I choose to be able to forgive someone and release them and not hold a grudge against them, suddenly I've released the power of God into my life, and now I am walking under the blessing of the Lord. But when I choose not to forgive them, I have shut up the heavens over my life. The greatest fruit that you'll ever grow as a Christian, as a believer, will occur under the most adverse circumstances in your life. That is when we grow deep. That is when we grow the most fruit. It is when life is handing you a lemon, when life has turned sour, when everyone around you is not acting right, when people are betraying you, when on the job it's not going well, when your finances are low, when your children are rebellious, when the preacher doesn't shake your hand, when all of the things that you think you ought to be able to have is not happening, that's the very moment that your ground is the most fertile to be able to develop the fruit of the Holy Spirit. You see, we have to understand something about this kingdom. The kingdom of God is an upside down kingdom. The way in is to go down. The way up is to go down. And the way to grow fruit is not in the most fertile and the most beautiful situation with the most fertile and rich soil, but it's in the adversities. It is in the soil that seems to have no fertile substance and no nutritional substance. It's the moment when there's dryness in the air and when there seems to be nothing else growing. God says, watch this. Everybody says that desert cannot bloom. But let me tell you what I can do to a dry place. Let me tell you what I can do to a life that has gone through a rocky pathway. And there's no pleasantry that's in your life at this very moment. You see, I understand something now. I've been in this thing just long enough to realize that when things get ugly, when things get dry, when things get bad all around me, this is an opportunity for me to be able to grow some Holy Ghost fruit in my life and give God all the glory. Amen? Hallelujah. Say with me, seize the day. Go to James chapter 1, and that's exactly what James, the apostle, declared. He said, you've got to learn how to seize the day. He said in verse 2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Count it all joy. 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 Call it joy. Call it. Call it joy. Hey, this is joy. This is joy, my brethren. Whenever you are enveloped in or encounter trials of any sort or fall into various temptations, when that happens in your life, consider it joy. Go to the next verse. Wake up there. Be assured and understand that the trial and the proving of your faith bring out. See, there's stuff in your faith that won't come out. There's stuff in your faith that won't be released. It's like the tube of toothpaste. I know it's in there, but it takes a little pressure to get it out. And God said when there's a trial or a test, a proving of your faith, He said then it'll bring out some endurance, some steadfastness, and some patience. I don't know about you, but I read my Bible where it says through faith and patience, they will inherit the promises of God. So it's all right, devil. It's all right to bring me some trial and some testing. It's all right because there's something inside my faith that has to be released when this comes. It's all right. That's why I consider it all joy. Everybody say, all joy. Look at somebody and say, I'm as joyful as I can be here this morning. Hallelujah. Now watch this. That which is in your faith, that which was in your faith, endurance, steadfastness, and patience can only come out of your faith when your faith is pressured, when your faith is being tested, when your faith is under trial, when your husband gone crazy, tore the Bible out of your hand, threw it down and went to the bar. That's when that was in your faith comes out of your faith. When your wife is spending way too much money, when your when your children are being rebellious and getting poor grades in school and not doing what you've asked them to do, and the policeman knocks on your door and says, is this your son? And at that moment you want to disown the boy right there. It's at that moment that these things, endurance, steadfastness, and patience, come out. But they only come out when the believer chooses to let them loosed. Because it's at this moment our choices, the carpe diem, the seizing the moment will take place. When I'm under that pressure, I've got to be willing to take the cap off. I've got to choose to allow God to get endurance, steadfast, and patience up out of my faith, knowing that it's about to work on my behalf, knowing that the promises of God are going to be inherited through faith and patience. Patience, steadfastness, and endurance has been released now because of trial and tribulation. Watch this. And it will have full play and do a thorough work so that you may be people perfectly. Now you're too quick. I didn't even finish reading it. Perfectly and fully developed. Stop right there. Perfectly and fully developed. It is God's plan that you and I become perfectly and fully developed. How do we become perfectly and fully developed? by allowing the Holy Spirit to transform us by the renewing of our mind through the Word of God. A lot of people will say God doesn't have to use trials and tribulations to get you fully developed. That's true. He doesn't have to, but 99.9% of us need it. And it's all right when trials and tribulations come. Don't feel like you've done something wrong. Don't feel like you're not a good Christian. Don't start getting a guilt complex because you've got trouble. Somebody's going to tell you you don't have enough faith. You don't have enough belief in God. Stop it. Stop it right there. Just let them know that you understand something about steadfastness, patience, and endurance. That it's up inside my faith and God's Word. In James chapter 1, verses 2 to 4 says that when I'm being tried and tested, consider it all joy because these things are about to come out. Not only are they about to come out, but they are about to make me perfect. They're about to cause me to be developed in my walk with God. And after all, how many in here want to be like Jesus? Well, glory to God. Guess what? He's going to make you to be like Jesus. But it may be through many tribulations. We're going to have to enter into the kingdom of God. But for the believer that understands what's happening through those things, this isn't the end. This isn't destruction. I'm not losing in this. There's no way that I can lose. Listen, I told somebody the other day, it seems like every time I try to make an investment, some people make investments and they make money. I make investments and I lose money. I've never made any money on any investment I've ever had. I said, Lord, it's only money. He said, that's right. I'll get you more where that came from. Don't worry about it. I said, but Lord, why is it I lose? And why is it that they get money and I don't get money? They make an investment, they make $50,000. I make an investment, I lose $50,000. God, what's up with that? I'm going to be paying this till I'm 85 years old trying to pay these things off. But you see, I understand something. It's not about that money. It's not about that investment. It's not about that trial. It's all about endurance, steadfastness, and patience up in my faith that God is trying to work out so that He can make me perfectly developed so that I can operate in faith and patience and do what? Inherit the promises of God. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, would you rather have your Dow Industrials go up and make a few bucks on your stocks, or would you rather have your fully developed faith operating in your life? Listen, I want to inherit the promises of God. You can keep the things of this world. I know that my God is able, and when I'm able to operate in my full faith in Jesus Christ, I'm not concerned about little momentary and light affliction. I just have to let you know today, I have not yet shed blood for my faith. I have not yet been beaten or imprisoned for my faith. And here we are whining and crying because you lost a little money on the stock exchange. You poor thing. Come on now. How many of us have been murdered? How many of us have been beheaded? How many of us have been shot point blank because we named the name of Jesus Christ? Here in America, it's soft. It's easy. And here we are complaining about things that people in most of the world in the third world don't know anything about. They don't know anything about conditioned air. They don't know anything about conditioned air, that we can bring it down to a temperature that's comfortable for you. They don't know anything about cars and automobiles. When I went to a pastor's conference in Masaka, Uganda, there was about 300 to 400 pastors there and 6 automobiles in the parking lot. And there were about 300 bicycles. We don't know anything about 300 bicycles. And here we are complaining because a car broke down. Well, you poor thing, you at least own a car. See, we've got our priorities out of whack, don't we? We have become soft in our faith. We have become people that have been conditioned for right conditions. But listen to me, there is a generation of families and churches that don't care about the conditions on the outside as much as they do on the inside. They recognize that God is able to work every situation in their life toward and for their good. How many believe that God's working for your good this morning? Amen. I want you to thank Him for it right now. I want you to begin to thank Him for it right now. Thank Him for it right now. I like what the King James says, lacking nothing. The next verse says, lacking nothing, that you may be fully developed with no defects, lacking in nothing. That's where you're going. You're going to a place where you lack nothing. Go down to verse 12 of that same chapter, James chapter 1, and look at this particular verse. This is powerful. Verse 12, blessed, happy to be envied is the man who is patient under trial and stands up under temptation. For when he has stood the test and has been approved, he will receive a crown, hallelujah, the victor's crown of life, which God has promised to those who love Him. Let me tell you something. Happy is a man who stands up under trial, who stands up under tribulation, because he knows he has a crown that is going to be given to him. A victor's crown. Hallelujah. Let me ask this question. Romans chapter 8, verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of God? He talks about shall death, shall life, shall principality, shall angels, all these things. No. She said, shall tribulation? Shall tribulation separate me from the love of God? No, it's not going to separate me, because I've come into this day already determined that I am not going to be separated by tribulation, because tribulation and trial work for my good. They work for my promotion and my development. You see, it's like a runner. If you've ever done any running before, and I used to try to run long distances, 8 miles, 12 miles, I found I never did a 26-mile thing. I wanted to do that, never did it. But I noticed something that you say, well, I could never run a mile. Oh, you can run a mile if you run a mile. You can run a mile, but you got to run a mile. In order to run a mile, you can never stand there and say, well, I could never run a mile. But you'll be surprised what you can do when you put your mind to it. So you put your mind to the Word. You'll be surprised what you can do when you put your mind to the Word of God. But, there's a runner's wall. They call it a runner's wall, that when you run so far, it's as though you can't run any further. But if you keep pushing, you break through this wall, and you're like revived, and you can keep on running. That's happened to me a number of times when I used to run long distances. I would run up to this wall, and it's like, I have to quit, I just can't do it. And I would endure. I would have patience and endurance, and I would run through it. And on the other side, I would be like rejuvenated. It would be incredible. It's like, wow, this is awesome. See, that's what it is in the kingdom of God. There are times in your life where you're going to come up against a wall, and that's where a majority of Christians quit. That's where a majority of God's people have quit. But you see, my love doesn't grow, or my patience doesn't grow, or my joy doesn't grow, or my forgiveness doesn't grow until I'm in a place or in a situation that it requires for me to operate in more than I've ever had before. So you see, I can't have more love until there's a demand for more love. So I'm going to have to find a demand for more love. So if I've got some people that have betrayed me, hurt me, talked about my family, and believe me, I've been through those things. You see, I always thought it was about that person and about our church and why are they doing this? And I'm the victim, and I'm having this little self-pity party. And I'm finally thinking, oh, wait a minute. God, you're just trying to fully develop me. You're just trying to allow me to break through the love wall so I could be on the other side of that wall and still love them in spite of whatever they do. And see, so God's going to do that for you, and that's how you're going to get fully developed. You say, well, isn't there a better way? Isn't there? There is a better way. And there's a lot of churches today teaching a better way. It's kind of like the commercials on exercise. You only have to exercise 3 minutes a week, and you can have abs like this. How many know that that's true? You can. You could take this bottle of pills, and if you take this bottle of pills, you'll have no cholesterol. You'll have a great, cardiovascular system. You'll have great health. You'll have no problem. All you do is just take these pills. You don't have to exercise. You don't have to eat right. You can eat anything you want and still lose weight. I've heard people say that to me. Just eat this, drink this. You can just do it, though, before you go to bed, because it works when you're sleeping. And so you don't have to worry about what you eat. You don't have to worry about diet. You don't have to worry about it. Just drink this stuff. Oh, by the way, it's only $49.95 per teaspoon. But seriously, if you'll take this, you can lose weight. It's guaranteed. Listen to these people. This is what happened to them. And some person will stand up and say, yeah, I used to weigh all these pounds, and I started taking just a teaspoon before I went to bed at night, and look at me. I've lost all this weight. You go, wow, it worked for them. Gosh, all right, here's $50. See, we have our human nature is we want the results the easiest way we can get them. And so in the church, that's what we're offering today. And that's why we have these mega churches. Excuse me. We have a lot of churches. I don't think they're churches. We have a lot of places that have a lot of people in them. And what they're doing is they're gathering all these people, and they're giving them a teaspoon before they go to bed at night, and they could be holy. You could have patience. God loves you just the way you are. You don't have to worry about, God's great. Just a teaspoonful of grace tonight And you know what? You can sleep with whoever you want to sleep with. You can drink. You can take drugs. You can do all that you want to do, and you're still going to go to heaven. Come to my church. This is a great church. And so people are flocking to that. But let me just tell you how it really happens. If you want to lose weight, you got to deny yourself. You can't be eating them potato chips and McDonald's. You got to start eating right. You got to eat vegetables. You got to start exercising four or five times a week. You got to start toning your body. You have to change your eating habits. You got to get more sleep. You got to drink plenty of water. You're thinking, yuck, yuck, yuck. I'm not going to do that. Well, then be fat, sick, and ugly. Oh, I'm not talking about the natural. I'm talking about as a Christian. We got some fat, ugly, tired, sick Christians. Why? Because they get a little tribulation. Like, I'm tired. My back hurts. I can't run all that way. I can't pick that up. That hurts me. I'm just trying to tell you, folks, I wish there was an easier way. I wish I could tell you that, you know, abracadabra, I got a wand here, and I'll give you some potion, and I'll pray over you, and you'll be like a superhuman Christian. If you come to my church, and you just let me lay hands on you, what's in me will get on you, and you'll never have to pray again. You can just live off of me. You can live off of my anointing. Ha! You know, we almost hear that on a certain TV show. We almost hear that, don't we? You know, put your hand on that screen right now. Put your hand on that screen. If you're sick in your body, put your hand on that screen. I'm not saying that you can't get healed by putting your hand on a screen. But I am saying it probably would help if you didn't eat all that junk food. So we're just looking for somebody on TV who will give us an easy way to put our hand on a screen so we can get healed so we can keep on eating the junk food. Oh, I don't know how I got here because it wasn't in my sermon. I think I'm in big trouble right now. I think I better move on. What I'm trying to say is seize the day, folks. This is your opportunity. This is your moment. This is your time. This is it. This is all God gave us today. Woo! God gave me today. Woo! I've got this day, this moment right now, and I'm seizing the day. Go to Acts chapter 14, verse 22. It's up on the screens because they're really watching me now. I look at it this way. Am I mentally ready? Am I seizing the day? The bigger the trial, the bigger the opportunity to go deeper into the kingdom of God. That's why I look at it. Establishing and strengthening the souls and the hearts of the disciples. This is the Amplified Version. Urging and warning and encouraging them to stand firm in the faith. Stand firm in your faith. Next slide. And telling them that it is through many hardships and tribulations we must enter the kingdom of God. That doesn't mean to get saved. You get saved through your faith in Christ. It's by grace. It's through faith. But entering in the kingdom life, there is a resistance to the kingdom life. You know, anybody can be saved, but there's a resistance to the kingdom life. Now, I'm using this analogy of health. There's a resistance to a healthy life. And it's all the commercials on TV and the, you know, the way your friends eat. You know, did you hear that latest report? It was funny. It says your friends can make you fat. Did you hear that on CNN? It did. It said your friends can. I'd be changing my friends, man. But there's resistance. Okay, there's resistance, even as there is to health, or resistance to prosperity. My wife had picked up one of our Joshua kids recently, and where'd you guys go to the beach? And she didn't know what a shore She had never seen a shore before. She didn't know what shoreline was. Or a beach, right? Sand. What was it?
It was the lake. She didn't know the difference.
She didn't know the difference because she had never been there. And she took her to a Target store. And she said, I've never been to this store before. This is like really, really got some cool stuff in it. I got to tell my mom. Could you tell my mom how to get here? Because this is really a cool store. Because she lives in a confined environment that resists change. When you and I are born again, we are living in a confined environment. It resists change. Your family, your friends, your behavior, your perception of life, it resists change. It wants to confine you to keep you the same. But through many trials and tribulations, we enter the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is the same way. The enemy, the demonic spirits, are preventing us from entering in to the kingdom of God. So that's why today we're preaching a gospel that's very easy. And it's a liquid potion. You know, you just drink one of these, get a little grace, and it's okay. You can drink, you can smoke, you can have sex outside of marriage, just, you know, ask God to forgive you afterwards. You know, just, you know, kind of things like it's not a big deal. And God loves you anyway, and He knows the humanity and the struggle of our humanness, and it's okay. See, what we're doing is we're telling people you don't have to run, you don't have to exercise, you don't have to break out of the poverty mentality. You can live there and exist there, but that's not God's plan for you. How many know that's not God's plan for you? See, you know that, don't you? So through many trials and tribulations, we have to enter into the kingdom of God. Trials and tribulations are nothing more than resistance to your growth. It's nothing more than resistance to your advance. Everything in this world has resistance to it. That's why in aeronautics or any other kind of engineering field, they have to design, like an automobile, they'll design a race car to cut through the wind to reduce the resistance so that they can gain more speed. But everything in this world has resistance to it, especially in the kingdom of God. So only the weak, only the immature believer today see trials and tribulations as trouble. But those that are going on with God are looking at it as, man, this is an opportunity for God. This is great. I mean, I'm not going to tell you that it's great to have somebody get in an automobile accident and laid up in critical care. That's not great. But I know in the middle of this trial, steadfastness, faith, and patience are going to come out of this thing somehow. And I'm going deeper into the kingdom of God through this because I'm choosing to believe God and not choosing to be angry at God. Stop living in an escape mentality. We're trying to resist trials. We're trying to resist problems. You know, escape mentality. Because we'll be increasingly defeated if we have an escape mentality. We'll walk into a self-pity mode. I want to never leave a situation in defeat. I want to always walk out of it in victory. See, I believe there could be no true freedom, no true worship if there's no freedom not to worship. For example, on a Sunday morning, true worship is only present when you have the opportunity not to worship. And if you look around in a church on the morning, on a Sunday morning, there are people that are worshiping and others that are just standing there. And they're choosing not to worship. So I know there's true worship available. And God is receiving true worship. It is your choice whether you worship or not. And your choice either releases anointing and power, or your choice withholds anointing and power. Isn't that powerful? Our choices to either engage or disengage. You and I have to choose to love. We have to choose to believe. We have to choose to forgive. Our choices release the power and the consequences of our choices. Abraham had to believe God. He chose to believe God when he held the knife in his hand over top of his son Isaac. He chose to believe God. His choice was to believe God, even though the circumstances didn't appear to align itself with that choice. I'm choosing to do this, and I'm going to lose. I'm choosing to believe God, and my son's going to die. See, sometimes we may feel that. I'm choosing to believe God and give my tithe, and yet I know we're not going to be able to pay our bills. But your choice to believe God releases a ram in the thicket. Hallelujah. Joseph chose to believe God when he was falsely accused by Potiphar's wife. And he went into prison, but he continued to believe God. He chose to believe God. And by his choice into believing God, he was exonerated from prison. But not before he was betrayed in his belief. But ultimately, God, in the timing of the Lord, brought him out of prison. And what happened? He became second in command of all the nation. Because he chose to believe God in the prison. He chose to believe God in the pit. He chose to believe God when he was falsely accused. And his choice released the anointing for his good. Stop living on the fringe. Stop living on the fringe. Stop hiding away from God. I was preaching in a men's conference yesterday of about 75 men. And I was preaching to them about, are you going to draw a line? Are you going to cross the line? Are you going to continue to be nominal in your faith? Are you going to continue to hide out in your own wine press, so to speak, as I preached on Thursday night? Are you going to try to just cover up and just hold on and hoard to your little increase? Or are you going to stand in the middle of your bean field like Shammah and say, I am Shammah! And nobody comes to my house. Are you going to make that decision, that choice to stand for God? In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 11 to 15. I want you to look at it just quickly, and we're closing this message. But I want you to see this, because fire in this particular scripture consumes one and it refines the other. How does that happen? How does one become consumed and the other one become refined through trial and tribulation? For it says, no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is already laid, which is Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. The next verse, please. But if anyone builds upon the foundation, whether it be with gold, silver, or precious stones, wood, hay, or straw, next verse, the work of each one will become plainly and openly known, shown for what it is. For the day of Christ will disclose and declare it, because it will be revealed, next slide, with fire. And the fire will test and critically appraise the character and the worth of the work that each person has done. If you will, envision with me on this side of the platform a pile of wood, hay, and stubble. Envision with me on this side of the platform a pile of gold, silver, and precious stones. Now we have the same works, but one is substance is of wood, hay, and stubble. The other substance is of silver, gold, and precious stones. And I light a match or I ignite a torch and I bring the torch to those piles of wood, hay, and stubble. And what would happen? Immediately, it would be burned up in fire. But what would happen to the gold and the precious stones and the silver? As I would turn up the intensity of the heat, it would not be consumed, but it would be what? Purified. So we know that in that day, through fire, through testing, through tribulation, that we are being purified for the glory of God. See, I figure I've got about 70 years on this planet. Maybe the Lord will give me 120. I'd like to be here for 120, but if he gives me 70, if he gives me 80, I've got that amount of time to get purified. I've got that amount of time to get myself fully developed for God. And I don't have time to waste it whining and crying about trouble and testing and tribulation. Because I know that when I do that, it's nothing but wood, hay, and stubble. But when I stand in the middle of my trial, as Ashley portrayed during that little video, and she lifted up praises unto God, even though her hard heart was broken, tears were flowing, it tells me that the fire, when it was turned up, was purifying the gold, the silver, and the precious stones. So the point is, you're going to have to choose, from what pile are you? Do you live here? Are you temporal? Are you natural? Are you carnal? Are you carnal-minded? Or are you eternal? Are you spiritual? Are you faith-filled, knowing that the trials of our faith work in us the patience and endurance and steadfastness, and God gives us the promises of His Word? You see, ladies and gentlemen, we've got to get to a place where we rise up as God's people. We need to rise up and say, God says He always leads us in triumph in Christ. God causes all things to work together for good for those that love God and are called according to His promise. The Bible says that God's Word never fails, that God's Word will never fail, that God's Word, even though heaven and earth will fail, God's Word will always stand true. And it will only fail when we quit living according to His Word. The only time God's Word fails is when you and I are letting go of the Word of God and we forsake the Word of God. But so long as I'm holding on to the Word of God, it will not fail. And because it will not fail, I will not fail. And you may be going through a trial today of your life. You may be going through a moment of trouble. You may be in a great tribulation time. But I came to encourage you today to tell you that hold on to your faith. Do not grow weary in your well-doing. Continue to speak the word of the Lord over your life. Don't allow the enemy to steal away through conditions and circumstances, because it is Satan's ploy on the earth to get you to doubt what God has said to you. God is faithful, church. And if we will rise up in this hour and be the generation that He's looking for on this planet, then we can turn a city around. We can turn a family around. God can turn your life around. And I want to ask that question this morning. If you're here today and your life needs to be turned around, you're going the wrong way. You're headed in a disastrous direction. You know that your life isn't pleasing not only to God but to yourself, your family, your spouse. And it's time for you, sir, to surrender your life to Christ. Ma'am, it's time for you to make a decision to go with God. And every head bowed and every eye closed, let me ask this question today. If you were to die today, do you know without a shadow of a doubt that you'd go to heaven? And if you can't answer that with an affirming yes, then you must pray and ask God to redeem your life from sin and destruction. Today, you would cry out and say, Jesus, save me. No one looking around, you say, Pastor, I need that prayer. That's me. I want to know if that's you today. And here's how we'll know it. I'm going to count to three, and with an upraised hand, I'm going to ask you to lift your hand, acknowledging the need for that prayer. Are you ready? Please, please today, acknowledge Christ, and He'll turn your life around. Are you ready? One, two, three. If that's you, hold it up high. Thank you. Thank you. Those that have your hands up, please stand up. Quickly, if you have your hand up, please stand up. Thank you. You have your hand up, please stand up quickly. Altar ministers, I want you to come down here to the front of this altar. If you have your hand up, please stand up. There were others who had their hand up. Please stand up quickly. Those of you that are standing up, I want you to walk into that aisle and follow those that are coming to this altar. We want to pray with you. Come on. Come on. Do it right now. Don't even stop. Don't even hesitate. This is God's opportunity for you. Others that have had their hand up, that you put it back down and you didn't stand up, this is your moment. This is your opportunity to come to Christ, to know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and as your personal Savior. Come, come, do it right now. Do it right now. In Jesus' name. Is there anyone else? Before I take the service in another direction. Is there anyone else? You say, Pastor, I need that prayer. I need that prayer. How about this morning you say, Pastor, you know what? I've got through some trials and tribulations, man. I'm ready to give up on God. I'm ready just to chuck the Bible. I about had it. You know, I've kind of let go of my grip on God. I need prayer today. You're born again, and I understand those moments. I've been there. But today you just want to be revitalized. You want to hold on to God a little bit harder. You say, Pastor, I need that prayer today. If that's you, just wave your hand at me a little bit. Say, that's me, Pastor. I need that prayer. I need that prayer. Amen? All right. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. I want you to lead these folks to Jesus Christ. I want you to lead them to the Lord. Everyone is praying right now. They're praying for forgiveness. They're asking Christ to forgive them of their sin, and their life will be changed from this point on. Church, before we're dismissed and we go this morning, I want to say something to the men this morning while they're praying. You know, we love to conquer. We love to be able to go and conquer at work, conquer on the golf course. We love to conquer a trip. I don't know what it is with us. We just like to drive until our bladders are about to bust, but we just like to conquer. But oftentimes when we get home, our house has been ravished like Ziklag. David came home after conquest and his home was left in shambles. And I want you to know today that your home is your first priority. Your home is your first priority. And I want you to take an inventory. Is your wife happy? Can your children talk to you and share anything with you that's on their heart? If they can't, I want you to go home today and I want you to ask the Lord to show you how you can have conquest in your home, in your marriage, with your children. This is so important because as the strength of the local home, so will be the strength of the local church. And as the local church is strong, so will the nation be strong. But I also want to say this to you guys. Every person who has a job in here, any person who actually goes to work, let me see your hand. You have a job. Raise your hand. Okay, a lot of people. You know, our daily lives are vitally important to the kingdom of God and the success of the kingdom of God on this earth. And those of you that go to work, I want you to understand what you're doing. It's sort of like the kings of old that went out to battle. When you go to work on Monday morning, you're there Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday, and you're working all these hours, you get that paycheck. I want you to see that paycheck as the spoil of your battle. That you are indeed a king that God has raised up in this hour to not only provide for your household, and rightly so, but like David in 1 Chronicles 29, he was able to take the spoil and make the house of God strong. See your job as a means of making the house of God strong. Without you as a king, I as a priest could not offer the sacrifice. So I want to say to you, thank you for your tireless efforts of going on the job, receiving your paychecks, paying your bills, feeding your family, and coming to this house and sacrificially giving your tithe. That, my friend, is enormous in the sight of God. And I'm going to just pray today that God will reward you and give you increase in your life more than you've ever had increase before. So if you're making a check this morning, make it out to CNC. We want to receive our morning tithe and our offering. Church, we need to see the increase in our weekly giving here at Church on the North Coast. The needs are great. As a matter of fact, just recently I've had so many families turn in lifeline requests. That's our benevolent giving. One family's need was $2,000. Another family's need was like $1,200. Another family's need was $700. Folks, it doesn't take long, and those funds are depleted like that. And these are real needs of people that are in our church that we want to help. But it only comes when you give, and you give sacrificially. So with your tithe and offering today, would you give something toward the benevolence offering? That's to those at our church that are in need. Whether it's they need to get an apartment or pay a medical bill or buy food for their family or pay their house payment. We want to be a help to people. But the only way we can do that is by your sacrificial giving. So put something extra today in your offering to Lifeline. I would appreciate that so much. Are you ready to give this morning? Amen?
Amen.
Okay. Making a check, they're right out. CNC offering envelopes are there before you for the cash giving. We're going to receive those this morning and believe God for increase in your life. Thank you, Lord. Father, right now we're praying, oh God, for the increase of this house. I thank you for the kings that go to battle every day, Monday through Friday. Some of them work late hours. Some of them work 11 to 7 in the middle of the night. Others, oh God, are just giving so much energy in their labor. And they bring that paycheck to the house of God. And they're able to give sacrificially. Lord, I bless them today. I pray, oh God, that you give them raises. I pray, oh God, that you give them promotions. I pray, oh God, that you would open up opportunities for prosperity in their life. Now, Lord, meet the need of this house, and we might be able to touch a city and touch a community and touch a nation for God. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Go ahead and receive that offering this morning. I want to share with you that if you are visiting with us and you'd like to meet with us, my wife and I, some of the staff, we'll be on the right-hand side. Does somebody have a sign that says guests over there? I can hold that up. Also, I want to say while they're getting that ready, we got one of the signs in that will identify the new Beechwood location. If you haven't seen it, it's out there in the foyer. It says Church on the North Coast, Beechwood. And those of you that are volunteering and you're a department head, we want you to be at that reception August 10th. That's Friday, 7:30 at Beechwood. And we have about 50 families that have already identified they want to be a part of the church. So we're excited about that. Pray for that, okay? Pray for that ministry. I believe that it's going to be a powerful ministry. It's been good to be together. Thank the Lord for the presence of God. And I want to encourage you through your trials and tribulations not to get nervous. God hasn't forgotten you. You're going to grow in Jesus. And after all, I mean, what would a man give for his soul that if he gained the whole world and lose his soul? I mean, you know what I'm saying? Know this, that you may not have everything you want in this world, but sometimes through those losses, God builds us up in the spirit. We're becoming giants in the kingdom. So let's keep our focus on the right place, not on materialism, but on the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God that is your Redeemer. Amen? Live right. Don't play around. You'll get caught. Love everybody. Don't pick and choose. He sees that too. He's got bigger eyes than Santa Claus. And pray hard because times are tough. We'll see you on Thursday night at 7 o'clock. God bless you.